that's where you began to worship the Lord. The Lord saw fit to show me here. And I was seeing it here. And I was seeing people sticking their finger in their ear and trying to open their ear. And I felt the Lord was saying, tonight, God wants the spiritual ear that we possess individually. We need to ask God to open that spiritual ear to hear beyond the words that are being said. I felt that tonight, we just walked in here like the rest of you, but the first song as it was beginning to play, I saw this ear and the finger trying to clear the ear, and God said, tonight we need to ask Him to open our spiritual airways and our ear, because He has more to impart than what Todd is going to say. If we have the ear to hear, bless you.
Praise the Lord. You're going to see how that fits in to tonight for sure. Thank you for being sensitive, brother. Appreciate it. It was so good. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and is one who is taught that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We just ask you now that you'd give us an unction in the Holy Spirit that we'd be able to speak as oracles of God tonight. Father, that you take this vessel, you take this mouth tonight and use it to your glory. And Father, we just ask you to commission your war angels to surround and protect this place and to be released as you speak your word, that they would hearken unto it, to be dispatched into people's lives, to in the community, Lord God, or whatever you see fit to do. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. We'd ask you to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. And Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn up to John, the book of John, chapter 18. Got a few Bibles up here. I'm going to get rid of one of them soon here, but here we go. Verse 33 says, therefore, Pilate entered again in the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? And Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief of priests delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. And therefore Jesus said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you said correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? You know, I've always found that scripture kind of interesting, because here we are, Pilate, who has prosecuted and he had many criminals and people who are in front of him, immediately recognizes that Jesus is an innocent man. And yet, as he's interrogating him or talking to him, you know, Jesus makes a statement, everyone hears my voice, bears witness of the truth, and here Pilate wants to know what truth is. And I think there's nothing more important right now on planet Earth than to know the truth. We are living in the most saturated society in the history of this earth of deception. And there's always been deception, there's always been false things, but we're living in a day and an age where it's increasing. Now, in saying that, we also have a church that's also increasing, and I don't want to come off as one that seems defeated, or because there's so many lies out there, we can't do anything. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what's important to me is to make sure that the body of Christ does not have lies in them. And so as an equipper, as someone that is called to minister to the body of Christ, it's important that I make sure that I study, that I give out truth. But in saying that, anything that comes from me or from anybody that would speak here must be judged, it must be tested, it must be looked at, because if it's not, then we're not discerning. And it's important that you discern, because if there's something that is said that is of God, you need to take it and you need to put it inside and let it do what it's supposed to do. But if it's not, you need to dump it. So it's very important that you, when you listen, that you listen with your spiritual ears, as my brother was talking about. But I want to talk tonight about truth and get into some specifics of it. Now, in Habakkuk chapter 2, now I touched on this last week briefly, so I'm going to have to go back over some of the things I said next week and then expand a little bit. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, if you want to turn your Bibles there, it's page 1044. Says, and the Lord answered me and said, right, excuse me, that is the wrong scripture. Verse 18. Let's go down here to verse 18. There we go. What profit is a graven image when its maker has formed it? It is only a molted image and a teacher of lies. For the maker trusts in his own creation as his gods when he makes dumb idols. Woe to him who says to the wooden image, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, teach. Yet it cannot, for behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. So basically, it's talking about idols. And, you know, idols can be a lot of things. Now, today, we don't go around. Now, there probably are some people that are still worshiping images and things like that, but today we've got this phone thing that we carry around with us all the time, that I would liken it unto something that is much more versatile than a wooden image, but yet it still can be an idol if it's speaking lies. And you got to wonder, why in the world do we continue to listen to lies? You know, sometimes when something's being said and broadcasting and so forth, and you call it out as a lie, you know, sometimes we need to probably just turn it off. But the problem is that one of the things that I see in the body of Christ that we have to be very careful of is that we don't make out an idol, or we don't allow knowledge to be able to overthrow us. I call it the idol of false knowledge. I think it's one of the things that is really can be a real problem, because if you've got knowledge in you about God that's false, and that's become your doctrine, then your ear essentially is plugged. And even though God would want to remove that, you have to be in a position to be open for new revelation, new understanding, and that comes through relationship. Much of our Christian experience is based upon assimilation and digestion of knowledge. When we first come to Christ, our attention can just be devoted to having our needs met. Unfortunately, our spiritual powers of discernment are underdeveloped, and we often take in false knowledge when we first come to the things of God. I don't know about you, but I got a barrage of things. I remember reading this book by Armstrong that had some Armstrongism that was some kind of, this is back when I was in college and just, you know, picking up different things about God, and, you know, in the United States was modern Rome, and just all kinds of crazy stuff, all kinds of crazy books I've read over the years. And just a compilement of false knowledge. Thank God I wasn't intelligent enough to remember certain things. Not to put myself down, but I just, you know, I wasn't, I probably read a lot of things, just never ever got into my memory because I didn't want to memorize it. But there's a lot of things when we first come to God, we're exposed to different teachers, you know. And you know how people, they you know, we worship the Lord, but sometimes people worship preachers. Can you imagine somebody worshiping a preacher? Have you ever seen that before? I mean, they'll talk about the preacher before they ever talk about Jesus, you know? I mean, there's nothing wrong with liking a teacher or being, you know, appreciative of teachers. But when we start worshiping them, you know, everything comes out of the mouth is this gospel we never tested. And we can run into some real problems. The false knowledge can inhibit and can actually prevent our growth. Instead of maturing in the Lord, we get indoctrinated into concepts of our first teachers or teachers that we get along the way. And not all these concepts are biblical. God helps those that help themselves. You know, just stuff that people say, you know. I mean, it's amazing to me that even a lot of unbelievers, how they can quote the Bible and think that it means this or it means that. There are Christians that have the image of God, images of God that are untrue, which the Holy Spirit would remove if they let Him. If they let Him. So we get in situations where, well, we're, some of us are older here, you know, some of us are really young, and then, you know, some of us are kind of in between. You know, I'm sure that you could quote or even think of people that, you know, you've learned things from. Now, see, I coach diving for a living. That's what I did for most of my life. That's springboard diving. It's not scuba diving. So don't ask me how deep I go down, okay? It's just teaching people to go off platforms and things like that. And I would get a variety of people from all over the world. I recruited from the world, and I'd have people come from all the world, came from different backgrounds, and they had knowledge that they had learned from their coaches, from their foundations. I never forget this one young man from New Zealand that came, a very talented young man, very good, and but yet he had problems spinning frontwards fast. And he was instructed or taught that when he came down on the diving board, when he moved his arms through, that he was to keep his head down in here so that when he goes like this, his hips could be shot up. Well, that doesn't work quite as well as another technique to where when you load up the board or you swing your arms through, you tip your head up. And then you bring it back down in like a, you know, it's like an ice skater, you know. They start out here and they bring their arms in and they go faster, faster, faster. Well, it's the same concept. Put the head out and the head draws in and it makes it go fast. Well, that was revelation to him. But he had been trained for years that his head was to be down. And here is somebody gives him a new revelation, a new truth of something that would unlock the door for him to be able to spin faster. And you would think he would immediately submit to that, but he was drawn to his old teachers. He didn't want to, you know, experiment with something new because, you know, this has worked for me, this is where I'm at, but he just didn't want to, and that's so true with us. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't get locked into something where we can't sit there and study our scripture and look at our Bible and find out really what the truth is. And one of the things that really trips, well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. So what's important is that finally I was able to put him in a training harness. I was able to get him to tip his head and to show him through that training harness experience that he could spin faster by tipping his head. And sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit will do with you. He'll put you in a harness when he realizes that you're operating not in truth, but you're kind of open to change. And sometimes he'll stick you in situations where the prayer that you think is going to work just doesn't work. You ever got in a situation where you sit there and say, man, things aren't working. I have binded things up. I have loosed everything that I can think of. I've said six Hail Marys. I took communion tonight. I mean, you know, people just scratching at things trying to get God to move. Oh, a good one is to sit there and cry before God because, you know, he'll move if you cry. You know what he did to me one time? I was crying. He goes, are you done yet? Took all the fun out of it. I said, but you know how, yeah, you're all alone, just you and the Almighty. It just kind of just blew my mind, you know, that he's speaking to me in my depths where I want to be like lifted up, and yet he's correcting me, saying, I'm not moved by emotion. And yet you'll get all kinds of messages about emotion. You'll get all kinds of hype in Christianity today. The American church has become a theater of observers, observing, waiting to see God move, but they never have a move of God in their life. The move of God is to come through you and through me. When we go outside these doors, he moves. He moves where you go. He moves when you open up your mouth and you talk about him. He moves. You want to see a move of God? Start opening up your mouth and declaring his glory, declare his goodness. Bring something to somebody in need. Let God move. So we get in situations, and this young man, as soon as he began to you know, let this be part of his diving, all of a sudden he started to accelerate. He started to get better and better and better. So in your walk with the Lord, you have to kind of do some inventory of where you're at right now. Where are you in Lord? Where is your walk with God right now? Is there anything you think he wants to reveal to you that you don't know? You know, it's his will to just impart truth to us because I just read it. It's his will. So he doesn't want you to know a little truth. He wants to give you the whole truth. And so if that's his will, we can come in line with that. And we can say, we can get before, I said this last week, get before the Lord, get on your knees, say, Lord, is there any false information in me that I need to be corrected about you? Have I taken in anything that I shouldn't have taken in? Would you please direct it, direct your light to it so I can be corrected in this area? See, somebody that's a seeker of truth, you have to get before the Holy Spirit and be honest with him and say, you know, there's something more I need to know about this information. You know, there's always things, there's always knowledge that we take in. One of the knowledges that we mess up in is that we take a lot of knowledge in through our eye gate, through observation, observing people and what we hear them saying and the way they act and so forth. And we assume a lot of times that we know them or that we know things about them. And we form what we call perceptions. And these perceptions that we form of people that are based not in complete accurate knowledge of them is actually a way of almost, it's almost a weird form of judgment we have over people. Have you ever just kind of like, you know, form a judgment over a person because you heard something about them or saw them do something or whatever? You know, years ago when I worked at Epworth Children's Home, and I've shared this story before, I don't know, at least I share it because it's on me, and you know, I don't look so good in it, but I'll tell you the story because I didn't look good in it. But it's just one of those things where I was working with another teacher there, and I was the facilitator. I was a guy that was in charge of, well, a lot of things. You get a job, if you get a job title facilitator, you're going to be doing it all. You just know that. And they didn't tell me that, but I was doing it all. But anyway, I was kind of the principal over there, a little campus school. And so if a teacher couldn't handle a kid, they'd always send them over to me. And there was one teacher there I think I've shared this here before, I really thought that she was possessed. I thought she was acting like the devil, and I didn't like her. And I had formed my opinions, and I came to my conclusions. And then I wasn't, you know, the old man kind of creeped back on me that day, and I said, you know what, she's going to send that kid over here. And she did. She kept it just because she didn't want to deal with him. He was just this little guy. But, you know, she sent him over to me, and I said, you know what, this makes me mad. I got to sit in my office and deal with this guy because she doesn't want to deal with him. And so I said, you know, I said to myself, I said, you know what, I'm gonna send him back with a note, and it's gonna make her mad, and she's gonna come over here and yell at me, and I'm gonna kick her out of my office, and that's gonna give me great relief. Now, I had planned this all out in my mind, and it happened exactly, you know, as I thought. I mean, exactly. I gave the note, I sat there and had got to my office and crossed the grounds and then to these classrooms were outside, but I could see her through there. I saw him go back with the note, and I saw her coming at me, and she kind of huffing and puffing like a little puffer fish coming at me, and I'm just sitting there trying not to laugh, you know, because this is going to give me great, great joy. Yeah, I'm totally operating as a Christian right now. Just totally, you know, it's just, she comes in and starts, you know, saying all kinds of stuff. And I say, get out of my office. And she says no. And then I say, get out. And says no. And then finally, I got her out of my office and slammed the door behind her because I thought that would be good, you know, just to really give her another one there. As soon as I did that, the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit. He said, that is brilliant. You really showed her my love there. And I'm just like, what? I mean, I got upset with God momentarily. I said, you know how she acts. You saw she treats these little kids, these little babies, you know, those are your kids. And she's, you know, she just can't handle it. She, you know, gives this guy a red day all the day, and she's just mean and this and that. And then he started to show me stuff about her life, how she was abused, all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there and just getting this downloaded into me to the point to where I just got crushed. I said, Lord, man, I just didn't know. He said, you never asked. See, that's false knowledge. I had false knowledge of her based on her behavior and the way I saw her and the way I think. And not that she wasn't doing those things, but I never took the time to try to get to know her or to pray about her. You know, I just moved. And we do this a lot. And so it's very, very important. The way you deal with
relationships around you must be dealt in truth. I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. He wants you to move in truth. So anybody you're caught in front of that you have an issue with, that's your target. That's your intercession target. To really pray for that individual, to see if there's anything you can bring that God will put in you to bring to that individual. A lot of times God doesn't necessarily want you to even talk to these people that you have issues with. He wants you just to pray for them. But whatever it might be, it's very important that we operate. It says in the scripture, speak what? Speak truth, right? In love, but to speak truth. Well, if I'm going to speak truth, I got to have truth in me, right? And I need to know the truth about the situation. So I can't just assume that I know things. That's not how the Spirit of God works, and that's not how the word of knowledge works. A lot of people move in a false words of knowledge. I see it all the time. They do it by exterior things that they see in individuals. And they're very good at prophesying things externally, but they never get to the inside. And so it's very, very important to get truth in situations. Now in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of what? The word of truth. The word of truth. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Accurately handling it. Very, very important, which means you must study your Bibles. And what's wonderful about today, I will say an asset of the phone, is that you can study your Bible right off the phone, find out what the Greek and the Hebrew is, and find all kinds of information, okay? You can actually dig in and find the truth. And so I would encourage you to do that. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection had already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. So here the scripture is pointing out two individuals that are releasing false, you know, ideology, false, you know, doctrine. What do you want to call it? It's false that the resurrection had already taken place, and they did damage. And in the apostles, you know, we knew, it's amazing how Satan does the smear campaign. You know, and we see it played out on the news. You can see he handles all that stuff. That is his nature, to take truth and malign it. If he can't stop it, the way he tries to do is distort it and deceive you with it. Because especially when we get in situations where we're in need, and it comes into areas of money, you know? And, you know, I'm sure I've been in meetings. This guy named Benson, Idaho, so I don't know if you guys remember the guy from years ago from Uganda. I didn't want to go to his meetings, because every time I go to the meetings, I end up dropping $1,000, because there's three people in here, five people, and give $1,000. And, you know, maybe it was God, maybe it wasn't. But at the time, I just didn't know. And I did have $1,000, and I could give it. Wrote the check, put the money in. I don't know if it ever came back or not. Maybe it is. Maybe it's going to come back. Maybe it'll come back tomorrow. I don't know. But what was my motivation? I'm in a situation, you know, where I needed something or whatever, and I'm going to give to get. Bring all your tithe into the storehouse, because you know I am the storehouse. The church is the storehouse. The local church is the storehouse. Show me that in the scripture, please, because I don't see it. Now, maybe it's in there, and I need to have truth of that. They conveniently use that to get. Why don't you just say, hey, just give what you give. We need some money. We got to operate this whole thing. I'd much rather have that than to be set there and manipulated, you know, And so that, yet we see that all the time. You know, if you give $100, you'll get, you know, the oil from Jerusalem that's been blessed by a Jewish priest that, you know, is 90 years old. Because, you know, that makes a difference. If you're young, it's not going to be blessed as much as if you're 90. You know, we get caught up in all kinds of schemes. And a lot of these ministries, I'm going to tell you, because they become so big, they become monsters. And they've got to feed that monster. They got to keep coming up with fresh stuff to manipulate Christians to keep giving, to keep that train going. How many ministries have gone to these heights that are just, and they can't maintain them, and they ended up falling? It's destructive to the body. And plus, you know, we think that success is just because you got a microphone and you're on TV. That means you know how to speak truth. That doesn't mean you need to be able to speak truth. How many lies do we hear from politicians? You think preachers are all any better sometimes than politicians? They're not. Boy, I'm getting bad, aren't I? Sorry, just had to say that. But, you know, it's just, you know, people were just getting to the point where they're getting a little bit fed up. But anyway, let me move on here. So these guys basically were saying the resurrection had taken place and it hadn't, and they're being called out on it. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 3, I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. See, we're already having problems with this. Nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. So here he is. He's basically, there was a problem at Ephesus, and the Apostle Paul is addressing it. You know, that people are teaching strange doctrines. I think I shared this last week, but, you know, I was years ago, I was asked to go minister in this church over on Number One. I think Leroy Jenkins owned the building at one time. That should have been a red flag to me. I didn't know who the guy was, though. Anyway, there's this church, and this lady had bought it from Augusta, Georgia. And she asked me to come and minister there, and I just started ministering, didn't really know a whole lot, but just know I was called to do it, so I did. And she liked it, and she invited me to her church up in Augusta, Georgia. And so I'm up there, and she was in her 80s, and name was Sister Matthews, and it was kind of a strange situation. She had a lot of people around her. I don't know if she had a lot of money or what the deal was, but they all kind of like, you know, they're upset with me because somehow I got into the circle. She just liked me for whatever reason. And they didn't like the fact that I was that close to her. Anyway, I'm sitting in the meeting and she invites me up to the church and said, I didn't know what to preach on. The Lord gave me this weird message. It says, your life is a wisp of vapor. You're here and you're gone. Well, they believed, they had a false doctrine. They believed they could stay in this body and never die. I'm not kidding you. And so I'm preaching this message, your life is a wisp of vapor, you're here to God. They wanted to kill me. They were like, you could just see it in their eyes. I go, what is wrong with these people? I'm thinking, my head, they're just like, they look like they're angry, you know? And then I started prophesying over people. Thank God I hit the target, because if I didn't, I don't know what would have happened to me. They know what to do. And then I turn around and I prophesy over Sister Matthews and basically prophesied her death, which happened in 3 months. And they're preaching the message at her funeral. Now, just because Sister so-and-so passed on doesn't mean she didn't have enough faith to stay in her body. I mean, it was all you could do to hold me down and not go up and just shut that place down. A false doctrine. There are all kinds of strange little weird doctrines that are out there, and you'll find yourself, you have to be careful never to fall into those things. You know, especially a lot of prophets, a lot of false prophets are out there. And the worst false prophet there is a person that thinks they're a prophet and they're not. Not that prophets are the only ministry out there. You got apostles, you got evangelists, teachers, and so forth. So
Anyway, Galatians chapter 1. Sorry, verse 6. I am amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. And what was the reason why the Apostle Paul was addressing Galatians is what they were doing is they were telling people that were converted that they had to obey Jewish law and be circumcised in order to be saved. And so he's basically, you know, addressing that. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that are out there. That's why it's so important to really get into studying your Bible. You know, I mean, we have great teachers that are out there right now. We can learn a lot from a lot of people, but you need to learn directly from the Holy Spirit. You know, it says in the scriptures in the first epistle of John, said that the anointing permanently dwells within us and that we have no need that anyone should instruct us. Now you read that and you think, oh, does that mean I'm not supposed to listen to another teacher? No, that's not it at all. Because if the anointing's not teaching you right now, in other words, I'm teaching, but it's the anointing inside of you that illuminates, that starts to instruct you. That's why you're going to hear something different than you might hear. You might hear something different as I talk, because the Holy Spirit may be directing something specific to you. Some of you may be getting messages. You know, that's just the way the anointing works. But the anointing is permanently in you. And what does the anointing teach you to do? It teaches you to abide in him. Not in a person, but into God. Now, it's good that we have good brothers and sisters around us that can help us out and encourage us and strengthen us. But at the end of the day, it's your relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's your relationship with Jesus. That's all that matters. So if we have false knowledge, God will correct it, but we have to be open to it, okay? And the reason why I'm telling you that is because a lot of us in here are what I consider seasoned Christians. And people that come on Thursday night, for the most part, are very seasoned, been walking with God for years, have seen the good and bad and the ugly in just about every church, and they're just hungry for God. You just love God. And this is an equipping meeting, so you're going to hear things here that maybe other churches can't get into because they're in a series or whatever they're doing. And not that we're the end of all, but we're just doing our job, amen? So, you know, you need to understand that if you got false knowledge inside of you, the Holy Spirit will weed that out. And he will show it to you. And I can't tell you, because I'm an equipper, because I've had to study my Bible, I know there were things I didn't know when I was a younger man in the Word. I just didn't study my Bible at that point. I didn't know what the original Greek were. You know, some of the things that Jesus said were Jewish, and you know, we've taken them and made them different things. And so as you discover them, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, why did I ever say that? Or why didn't I know that? So we're constantly learning things about the scriptures. Now in the book of Acts, chapter 10, let's turn back here. Oh, I got a nice crease in my page here. All right. Verse 9. On the next day, as they were on their way, they approached the city. Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners on the ground. And there was in there all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy or unclean." You see where he's coming from?
Peter has a doctrine. He has specific knowledge about not eating unclean things. Again, a voice came to him a second time. So it wasn't just one time this voice came. It came a second time to him. This is how ingrained it was in him. You need to hear this. Again, a voice came to him a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer considered unholy. That's pretty strong. This happened three times. And immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in his mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked the directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And so what God was trying to reveal to Peter is that his spirit was going to be poured out on the Gentiles. And he had to correct him. And he does this through a vision. But it comes to him three times. So if this can happen to Peter, if Peter, who saw the Lord, had this type of stuff ingrained in him that he had to literally go into a trance to be corrected, how much more us? And that's why I'm encouraging you to search your heart, to get with the Holy Spirit, and to ask him to do this in your life. So some things might get cleared up. Now, if you go off into a trance and you have three dreams or anything like that, then you can come and share that next week, and I'll be glad to hear that, because that seems pretty outstanding to me. But that's, I just wanted to show you that, you know, sometimes we think, well, I'm open to truth, you know, which we are, but what we don't know is what is ingrained in you or me. What is inside of you that possibly could be holding you back from walking in the kind of love that Jesus wants you to walk in? And the reason why I'm saying that is because these are the kinds of things that the Lord is doing right now in the body of Christ, because he's not coming back for an immature church, but rather one that's mature without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That heart that he has opened ears, so when the Lord speaks, we obey and we do it. And that's kind of where he's in. So if that's happening, if that's what God's going to be doing in the land, what is he doing right now in you and me? He is preparing you individually for you to complete your mission, what you're set in this earth to do, to in clarity, in truth. He wants you to have that. You know, as a coach, you want it for your athlete, man. You want it. You want it more than they want it many, many times. And we know that that was God's heart. Look the way he dealt with Israelites. He wanted it for them. He wanted it in a, you know, you could just hear it in his voice and his actions and everything that he is. And so God really wants you to have it. He wants you to have all truth. So just know he is behind it. Amen. Let's see. Acts chapter 19. It's so quiet in here tonight. Quiet. I'll be done soon. But you know, when a preacher says soon, you know what that means, right? I mean, how many times they lie? I'll be done. So I got one more point, and they keep going. And then you get mad. You know, they kept you there for another hour when you were ready to go, and then you have to go talk to them, and then he's got to straighten it out and quit saying that. He says, I'll be here for 10 more. Anyways. All right. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 says, now it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through upper room country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized you with baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so they straighten that out. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking with tongues and they were prophesying. So one of the evidences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what? tongues and what else? Prophesying. You mean you could prophesy and not speak in tongues? Yes. We never point that out, but I just thought I would. So anyway, they were all and about 12 men. Now, the thing that's important to point out about this is that we have one of the problems, I think, one of the doctrines that a lot of churches have or a lot of denominations have, is they think that when you have Jesus come into your life that you've got the whole thing, you got the baptism, the Holy Spirit and all. It's just not true. That's not true. Now, how many people are not empowered to witness as a result of that? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. And if you talk to somebody about it, they're completely closed off because some man told them that that's not true. Then you got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget, I was in a church here in Lexington, and there was a young man that was sitting in the front, and I was ministering that day, I think. I don't remember. Anyway, I called him out, had a word for him. I don't remember the word. And he was going to be starting a church out in Arizona, and he was a Baptist background, I think it was a Baptist background, some background. But hey, they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, they were told they don't exist, they're gone, whatever. Well, whatever I said to him was so detailed, and so it hit him so hard, he couldn't deny it. He couldn't deny it. Because it wasn't, you know, think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The true gifts of the Holy Spirit, I believe, move in power, but also the fruit of the Holy Spirit goes with them. You know, and so this guy just got blasted, however the Holy Spirit did it, and he wanted to talk to me. I mean, he called up the pastor, and pastor calls me up and says, okay, if this guy talks to me. I said, yeah, that's fine. He calls me up, and he basically tells me what happened. And he said, we were taught that, you know, we don't believe, you know, there's no more gifts of spirit or whatever, and I'm going to start in a church. And I said, I've got something, because I can't deny what happened to me. What you didn't know, there's no way you could have known ever that what you just told. Only God could have known that. And so I said, well, yeah, that's how it usually works and so forth. And I said, well, I tell you what, how many people are you start in this church and do you have your believers together? I go, okay, well, let's do a Zoom call. So I got them all on a Zoom. I had a word for every single guy on that Zoom call. So now they're stuck. But see, false knowledge, you know, kept these young men who could have experienced baptism. I know the difference. I had a relationship with Lord Jesus all my life, for since I can remember, okay? But in 1982 and a half, or whatever, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he empowered me to witness. There was a difference in my witness. And when I talked about the Lord, there was power there that wasn't there before. I mean, I knew. And plus, there was that fire they don't talk about. They didn't say, has anybody wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire? They didn't say anything about the fire, but the fire was there nevertheless. And it burned a lot of things out of me. It really did. Some things, you know, I wish it would have kept on fire a little longer and burned some more things out than it actually burned, because sometimes God wants you to cleanse yourself. Amen? So I'm sitting there and that happened and I'm getting burned and I've changed, and I knew there was a difference, a complete difference. I remember going back home to a party that was jammed full of people. I was in my early 20s, and a good friend of mine was probably about from that wall over, and somehow he spots me and cuts through this jammed party, comes up and goes, what, tell me what's going on. I go, what are you talking about? Just something's different about you, something, tell me about it. What's going on with you? I mean, I didn't say anything, didn't do anything. I was just standing there. For whatever reason, he knew that there was something changed me. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an essential thing. And yet we have, even today, there's people out there that have committed their lives. This guy named Justin Peters had committed his life to come against any kind of move of the Spirit in the name of the Lord. You know? And I've been praying for that guy. He needs prayer. He doesn't need my criticism as much as he needs my prayer, because, you know, I'm sure he thinks he's doing God's work, but so did the Apostle Paul. Paul got knocked off his horse. This Justin Pearson guy, he's in a wheelchair. I just had found out. I didn't know he was in a wheelchair. He's in a wheelchair. I pray to God, maybe it's just me being mischievous. Lord, please just send him the most holy roller you can find on the planet that believes in healing, and every other word out of their mouth is Jesus, and send him to him, please. That would be my prayer. And he knows it because that's what I said to him. I'm just being honest. Now, whether that's godly or not, I don't let God be the judge, but I care about the guy enough at least to sit down and pray for him, because the problem is when we see people who are deceived like this, we tend to criticize. It's nothing wrong with being aware or say that this is going on, but you got to follow up with some prayer. You got to really spend some time with God over this individual, because they're in error, just like the Apostle Paul was. And don't you know, when Jesus said to his disciples, you pray for your enemies, it's not in the scriptures, but I've always speculated and I've always believed that the disciples were praying for the Apostle Paul. I just believe that's part of the reason why he had the encounter that he had, is someone interceded for him out there. So if you see somebody in error, it's just to pray for them. Acts chapter 8. Verse 14. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received a word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how anybody can not read that and not know that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's two distinct differences. And really, when you really look at it, the empowerment is for you to witness. You're empowered to witness. And the gifts and all the stuff, God will give you whatever you need at the time. Don't think that you may find that you might move more frequently in one gift than another, and that could be because you're more comfortable in that gift than any other ones. Or it could be that just that seems to be the gift that is needed at the time. But I've always been taught or trained by the Holy Spirit that I'm not to limit him in anything, that he can do anything he wants at any time with anyone through me if I'm obedient. So I would encourage you in that. Because I think a lot of times, well, I'm just this or I'm just that. You need a demonstration. Now, Paul came to the Corinthian church and said, I didn't come to you with clever speech. In other words, I guess he wasn't a good speaker. You know, I guess maybe he stuttered, or maybe he just was unimpressive, I guess, to look at. I mean, that's kind of what the scripture says. He says, but I came to you with a demonstration of the power of God, because the kingdom of God is not based on word, but what? Power. If you don't have any power, if you don't have a demonstration with you, I just think that's important to have. So you need to flex your spiritual muscles and understand that you carry a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm in Las Vegas. Can you picture this guy in Las Vegas? And we're staying in the Palms, and we have to walk through the casino to get to the restaurants. So you know what I'm thinking. I'm just coming down, I'm just thinking about how Holy Spirit's inside of me and how I'm just contaminating this place. And how I'm just walking through, and I'm just observing the people, and I could sit there and say, it bothers me because you see such a distraction. And not everybody there, I'm sure, was evil or anything like that. I didn't think that. I'm just saying they were distracted. You know, they're unaware. They're completely unaware of the movements of God. You know? But there's always somebody there that needs something. You know, and it just, you just have to make yourself available to God. That's all. You're when you wake up in the morning, there's something that you can do in the Lord that you've never done before. Pray for an individual, whatever. I don't know if you keep a prayer list or whatever. There's always something that you can do. You always got to keep moving, because the demonstration of God that comes through you is not by accident. It happens because you're in relationship with him. It happens because you're in contact with him. It happens because you actually allow him to love through you. Because when he loves through you, there's a discernment that comes up. It's like because everybody is naked before him, he gives you parts of stuff. You prophesy in part. You know in part. You don't know it all, but you know enough, you know, to be able to minister to individuals that might be going through something. So many people get converted through these demonstrations that come through your life. I just want to share just a couple things
how false knowledge or false counsel brought destruction. The first one that is noticeable is actually in Genesis and during the fall. It all happened through false knowledge. You know, Eve, you know, did God really say? God knows that if you eat this, that you're going to be like him. You know, I mean, she got an earful of false knowledge. And she took the bait, and then Adam ate the apple, and then, boom, the fall of humanity. Over a false knowledge, over a lie. And so because you can see that, you must understand, you must discern, saints, that we are susceptible to these things, but we've got to keep our guard up. And we have to do a truth check on us. It's just essential, because you don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived, but I think it's an attitude of the heart. It's how we respond to the Lord. It's our relationship with him that gives the Holy Spirit the ability to train us and to change us. Because just as that young man, I had to change his technique, there are people that you will be in front of where you've got to give a word to change their technique. Yet maybe you need to tap down maybe what they're saying. That seems the way that God uses me a lot. I get on people, sometimes they say things, you know, and I say, you know, you might not say, you know, because if God turned the power up you 100-fold right now, and you're going around saying it tickled me to death, it's going to happen to you. I mean, that's why Jesus only spoke the words of the Father, because everything that came out of his mouth came to pass, has to come to pass. And so a lot of times it seems like, at least when I was an athlete, I'd immediately try to tap what was coming out of my athlete's mouth. I mean, first of all, they knew they were not allowed to cuss in my practice. And so they thought, well, we'll just do it underwater. But I have underwater cameras. So when they're down there doing, see this thing, they come up, would you like to share with the group what you just said? Well, I was screaming. I go, no. I let's run it back. So I have instant replay and go down, break down frame by frame, real technical stuff. Let's go ahead. I said, now see that? That it looks like I think that's an F that I hear you. It's an F, that's an F. Boy, that's an F. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was sweet, but. You know, I was tough, but yeah. So, you know, what comes out of their mouths, you know, it's very important that, you know, I tap that down, you know? So, anyway. Okay. In 1 Kings chapter 12, let's look at that real quick. Verse 4 says, this is speaking here of King Rehoboam. Your father had made our yoke hard. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father, his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, and we will serve you, because he just became king. Then he said to them, depart for 3 days, then return to me. So the people departed. King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, how do you counsel me to answer this people? Then they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to this people today and will serve them and grant them their petition and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he forsook their counsel of the elders, which he had given him, and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. Now, that already there, when you just read that, you know what that's going to be all about. Let's get together with my pals here, and you know, I'll listen to what they have to say. So he said to them, what counsel do you give me to answer the people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father had put on us? The young men who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you shall say to the people who spoke to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, now you make it lighter for us. But you shall speak to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father's discipline with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.
Verse 13, the king answered the people harshly, for he forsook the advice of the elders which they had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young man, saying, my father made every yoke heavy, but I will add your yoke to my father's discipline. I will discipline you with whips, and I will discipline you with scorpions. And so he does what he gets false counsel. He gets incorrect counsel. And what is the result of that? A massive civil war breaks out in Israel where 10 of the tribes depart over false counsel, over false knowledge, listening to the wrong advice. Last scripture. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers 13. Starting verse 27. Thus they told him, when we went to the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak were there. Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, the Amorites living all in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living there by the sea, and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they're too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land. And this is what it says. They took it and they spread it out. It didn't go just to Moses. They're talking to everybody about what they saw. You know, so they're making some pretty bad mistakes here. So they gave the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land, though, which we have gone in spying out is a land that devours its inhabitants, with all the peoples whom we saw in it are very men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. Then all the congregation lifted up, chapter 14, then all the congregation lifted up the voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would we have died in this wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword, our wives and our little ones? It will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And then he gets so mad at him. That's in verse 10. They go, but all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting to all the sons of Israel. That would have scared me at that point. If I was on the other side and all of a sudden, you know, you're saying all this stuff and all of a sudden you look down at the tent and something just appears. I mean, I talk about the principal being called in the principal or whatever. I mean, somebody in that camp should have been shaken over that. Verse 20 says, so the Lord says, I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. So we know the story. All that whole generation just had to die before God could move him into the promised land. All over a false report, or something that was said. You know, and so we have to understand that there are consequences for having lies or listening to lies or knowledge that's not true. There are consequences that you and I might have in our lives as a result because we just didn't know. And so I really would encourage you again, as I conclude, that you take time to check yourself out and just to find out if there's anything inside of you at all that needs to be corrected, that's maybe holding you back, you know? And you know, if you have questions about things or things about scriptures, and I know, you know, everybody in here probably goes to a church somewhere or whatever, and hopefully go to a good one or whatever. But if you see the preacher or the minister up there and they're ministering something that isn't true, just tell him. He may not know. You know, he may not know. You may hear something come out of my mouth. Maybe I don't know. Come up and correct me. It's okay. You know,
And if I'm wrong, I'll fix it. And if you're wrong, then we'll, you know, sharpen each other's sword. But that's concern. That's care. You know? But like I said, you're going to come across people. And I'm saying this is on the other hand, okay? On the other hand, you have responsibility as seasoned Christians, okay, that you continue to point out to people where they are false, where they may have knowledge that that's untrue. It's very, very important. You know, because if you tell them and you address them, it's kind of like, well, now you're released from it. But if you just kind of hold it and not say anything, you know, you're kind of held accountable in some ways because you wouldn't be in front of that person and hear that untruth if it's not for a reason. And then, see, because the Holy Spirit then can trust you with certain messages. You know, I'm not one that goes around pointing out people's sin and stuff like that. I mean, you know, unless the Lord does that, I see God more building people up and talking about their mission and so forth. But on occasion, I've had to go to individuals that were in adultery and things like that, and I've had to talk to them. But I did that in fear and trembling. I don't do it in, you know, oh, well, gosh, yeah, I'm the guy that pointed this out. I didn't want to go to this individual. I did not. But the Lord kept prompting me to. Now, I'm glad that I did because there was some consequences that occurred, but eventually the individual got right. So, you know, it's very important that you take the truths that you know, operate in them, get more truth as it comes to you, because there's always something to learn in here. I feel like I just scratched the surface, maybe. I don't know how you feel. Do you feel that way about, like, there's so much to know about the Lord, especially if you start meditating on what we're going to be doing when we pass on. Amen? Amen. My sister has to really give you a word of encouragement, you know. I see a spirit of fear that attacks you at times. It's not something that's in you. It's just something that harasses you right here. Yes. Mm-hmm. I just see the spirit of fear just harassing you. It's a harassing thing. It's not something that's necessarily inside of you, okay? And the spirit of fear comes in different ways. And what it does is, like, when we look at a situation or something happens, it's rather than sit there and assimilating it, you know, correctly, and where it becomes kind of a hindrance to us. In other words, it's almost like a form of worry. And it's something that I believe the Lord is going to be protecting you from. You know, it's how we perceive situations, you know. My mother, I'm not calling you my mother, okay, but it's like my mom, she just worries about everything, you know. She goes, is it raining tonight? Well, don't come up here if it's raining, you know. God, you know, I can drive for the rain, Mom, you know, but she gets, you know, for whatever reason, rain equates to me not being able to travel, you know. It doesn't make any sense, but it's just something that pops into her head. But I see something, these things that pop into your head at times that try to get you to worry or to doubt, and the Holy Spirit is going to strengthen you in this area. You're going to become very much aware of a spirit of fear. And what I mean by that is you're going to be sensitized to it. When you walk out of this door, you're going to know, oh, that's what he was talking about. That thought that I had, that's not encouraging. That's not strengthening. That's something else. And you're going to block it. And then you're going to block this. And pretty soon you're going to realize that, hey, I never realized that I was entertaining this. You aren't the only one in here, by the way. Okay? There are many in this room right now that I'm talking to. You know, it's like before, when I went to Las Vegas, we're going there for a trade show, okay, and a business that my wife has. And prior to going, you know, you hear all this information how the economy's not going good. It's not going to be a big show. Not many people are going to come. I mean, these are the kind of things that try to come at you and as you're going in and you want to have a successful show. Well, I have a choice whether to entertain that or to block it. And if I block it, you know, it's, well, I'm not going to take that. That's one way. I can, you know, block it and then attack it. Oh, yeah, well, we're going to have a good show in the name of Jesus Christ. Guess what? I'm the blessed of the Lord. His hand is on this. It's his business, not ours anyway. How could it not prosper? You know, I mean, I block it and attack it. I block it and attack it. But if I don't attack it, I'm just going to continue to be doing blocks. Holy Spirit is training you to block and attack. And it's going to help you in your ministry because I see an intercessor inside of you that hits the target every time. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you specifics on how to pray over an individual. And I don't know if it's your family or what it is, but I see an individual that is lost. And this individual is in your target. He's in your sights. He's been marked in a good way. And the Lord told me to tell you tonight that he's going to do the very thing that you ask for him to do. And you're going to walk out of here with a security and understanding and knowing that God truly is going to do that, because I don't know you. But I just want to give you that word of encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. I hear the word of wisdom in you, brother, that it keeps coming up in my spirit. And wisdom, the word of wisdom that operates through you is practical application of the word of God. You can actually, the Lord is going to be moving, if he already hasn't, through dreams in your life. But you're going to know how to apply the information, just like Peter. Now, Peter didn't know how to apply it because it kind of happened in front of him, and he said, oh, that's what God was talking to me about. It's going to be poured out. But you're going to have application of a dream. For example, like Joseph had a dream. Hey, go to Egypt because, Herod's after the child. Gets up and he goes and he obeys. You're going to start to have that experience. It says old men dream dreams, young men see visions. So now you've moved from visions down to dreams. You've got a little bit older. So now you're going to be dreaming, But I just want to encourage you in that, because these dreams are going to be rapid fire. You're going to go through I'm in a season of dreams. Like it's here coming out of your spirit. I'm in a season of dreams. Like every night it seems I'm having another dream, And some of these are from the Lord and some of those are the pizza. But either way, when they come to you, you got to write them down. You got to have some way of remembering them. And there's going to be an application of those dreams, because you are a man in transition. You're in transition. And God is opening up new doors to you, new avenues. Things, even, I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know if you're retired or whatever, but even in that arena, it's like your work is even going to change to a degree. Now, you got expert in one area, but God is now saying, I'm going to make you an expert over here. You're going to take what you learned here, apply it into here, and God's going to breathe on it. And it's just going to go, brother. In Jesus' name I declare it. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where is it? It's over here somewhere. Oh, it's back there. No. Amen. You're hiding back there. I see you. She gets a word every week, so I'm just going to have to hold. I'll hold it. Okay? I'll get you next week. Praise God. God is so good. So be encouraged, okay? I just want to give you an encouragement, okay? Just be encouraged, okay? It might seem like it's going slow, but there is progress. And God going to accelerate it, okay? Just allow him. Those are kind of like word I gave out today. To those that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. And being connected to God is like being that little cord. It's like your life is intertwined with his. That's why you can say that he's your strength. He's got you to this point. It's like you're like that storybook where the engine that said it could, where it's I think I can, it gets up, but it's about over the hill. And you're gonna get over that hill and you're gonna see the promises of God being fulfilled one after another after another. I know it's been a war. I know it's taken a lot of endurance and you're just really fatigued, but God is strengthening you tonight to go that extra mile. And that breakthrough is just on the other side. So just be encouraged in Jesus. Do you have a sister? You don't. I'm sure you did. It might be, but I'm just going to say what I'm hearing. I see a sister that's close to you. This individual is, it's like a type of depression. It hits them. I mean, it actually paralyzes them. They can't really do anything. And it's not known. You're going to minister to them. So I just want to encourage you. God's going to show you specifically who this is. So you're going to know. And that word of release, that word of strength, that's going to be a word of knowledge from me to you to them. That word of knowledge is going to open up the door to really bring some serious ministry in this individual's life. So being very secretive. They're almost like a cat. Cats supposedly when they don't feel good, they go off and alone and die or something like that. So I'm not, but this individual is like that. There, you would not know if it wasn't the Spirit of God that showed you. So just be aware of that. Praise God. That was so good. Well, Patty, got anything? Okay.
kind of a different form. I just felt like that there are people here that have things that you need to shake off. Literally just shake it off. You've come a distance, but it's like God saying, shake it off. And I don't know who you are, but there, every one of us has something in our life that we need to let go of and get behind us and shake it off. So it's a very simple word, but if you have something you need to shake off, would you stand up and just shake your hands like this and shake it off? There's got to be more than this, because all of us have something we need to shake off. Just shake it off. 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 God says that He orders the steps of the righteous. He's going to order our steps, and that which has been holding us back, and there are little things that hold us back. Mm-hmm. We don't think they do, but they do. It could be a thought way. It could be something we've said. It could be the way we've walked. But you need to shake it off and keep it behind you. And Doug, I feel like you're going to be in a situation and you're going to have a word of the Lord for a person that you're going to come in contact with. And you're going to kind of sit on it and kind of feel like, I am about to say something to him. And I feel like that God's going to give you such a word of deliverance for him and relief for him that his whole business is going to turn around.
Praise the Lord. Amen. This is a prophecy?
Yes.
To an individual?
No. She said that was for lots of people. This one.
No, I'm just asking a question.
Yes.
So well, it's prophecy. Come okay. on. It's prophecy. It's okay. Right.
Okay. It's very similar.
Okay.
Only it's a warning. Okay. You know how when you were a kid and there was a teeter totter, a seesaw, and when you were a kid, you would let it go this way and you'd start on this end and then you'd kind of move to the middle. And you would balance it, right? Mm-hmm. And you remember how if you don't balance it just right, you're going to go that way, or you're going to go that way. You remember that. Okay. Some people here now, and I don't know who, God is not identifying those people, but people are approaching something sinful, something wrong, something that's going around in their head that seems like it's not that bad, maybe. And so they're starting to try to balance, and they get to the middle, okay? And I just want to remind you that if you're in that middle place, this way, it's not going to be easy, okay? Much better off to be wise and say, okay, enough.
Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you've written a training manual for what you do, but I keep hearing that word in my spirit that you're to write a training manual. In doing that, there's going to be a parallel, you know, into the walk of a Christian, and you're going to see a distinct parallel because the Lord has actually taught you many times through what you do for a living about the things of God. In fact, even the things you do in the moving and the gifts of the Spirit over individuals, God actually taught you through what you do for a living. And this is going to become very, you're going to become very aware of that because see, it's like I became, and you probably are at this point, I became at the point where my job, where I literally listened before I spoke in a coaching situation because I wanted what I had to say to count. And you know, working with in the arena that the commands that you give, the training that you do, it's through repetition. It's through being consistent. And these two things of repetition and consistency are something that you know about that others do not, and you've dug deeper in it than you realize, and you don't realize, and God's going to bring an understanding of that, how that applies, that you can actually teach other Christians about this. There's a teaching ministry that's always been in you. You've always been doing it. But now the Lord is saying, I'm establishing a platform for you to actually release it. Because I see it's like snippets here, snippets there, snippets here. But it's almost like the Lord is promoting you into a different arena now. And that's why this transition in your heart is taking place. We were talking about that earlier. There's a transition inside of you that's taking place. And it's rooted in love. And so just know that it's actually the love that's unlocked the door for this. You know, and brought you to this place. Because it you know, sometimes, and I don't know if you ever thought this before, but a lot of times people think, man, train has passed me by. It opened, I should have got on the train at that point. I didn't do it, and just kept going. You did miss the train. Amen. It's now stopping. Okay? You're eager to get on it. And that eagerness is a prompting of the Holy Spirit maneuvering and manipulating you by his power. I hate to use the word manipulating, but he's leading you, okay? By his power into something greater than you've ever been in before. Because you desire it. You see, when you have a desire like that, that's a communication to the Holy Spirit that he hears all the time. You may not articulate it, but you know what it is? It's something actually he's placed within you. It's almost like him talking to him. That's the only way I can explain it. But it's inside you and you know it. It's been bubbling for years. It kind of set him down. But now God says, I'm going to activate it. And you're going to feel that activation. And just know this, that God's going to open. You're going to find people receptive to you that have never been receptive to you before. I like the way Nikki Texas said. Nikki said, God put a blanket over somebody. You know? And when the blanket comes off, it's all like, oh, that's you. Yeah. Come on. Can't wait. Well, where was that 3 years ago? I've been sitting on this teaching for you. But see, there's a percolating. There's always a refinement with the Holy Spirit. And it's always a timing in God. When the point we just don't even want to. It's like he kills something inside of us that where it could hurt us. And once that's dead, boom, he opens up a door. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But it just seems the way that it's been for me. But allow that to be judged in Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being here tonight. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to continue to minister concerning this word on false knowledge or the idol of false knowledge. Father, I ask you to fill everybody up here tonight, overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Bless them, Lord. I release Psalm 91 over their lives. And we thank you for this tonight and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need ministry or healing or anything like that, we'll stay here to minister.
I did not. But the Lord kept prompting me to. Now, I'm glad that I did because there was some consequences that occurred. Eventually, the individual got right. So, you know, it's very important that you take the truths that you know, operate in them, get more truth as it comes to you. Because there's always something to learn. I feel like I just scratched the surface, maybe. I don't know how you feel. You feel that way about, like, there's so much to know about the Lord, especially when you start meditating on what we're going to be doing when we pass on. Amen. My sister has been giving you a word of encouragement. You know, I see a spirit of fear that attacks you at times. Not something that's in you, it's just something that harasses you. Yes. Mm-hmm. I just see the spirit of fear is harassing you. Harassing things. Not something that's necessarily inside of you. Okay? And the spirit of fear comes in different ways. What it does is, like, when you look at a situation or something happens, it's rather than sit there and assimilating it, you know, correctly, it becomes kind of a hindrance to us. In other words, it's almost like a form of worry. And it's something that I believe the Lord is going to be protecting you from. You know, it's how we perceive situations, you know. My mother, I'm not calling you my mother, it's like, my mom, she just worries about everything, you know. She goes, is it raining tonight? Well, don't come up here if it's raining. I can drive for the rain, Mom. You know, but she gets, you know, for whatever reason, rain equates to me not being able to travel, you know. It doesn't make any sense, but there's something that pops in your head. If I see something, these things that pop in your head at times, to try to get you to worry or to doubt,
And the Holy Spirit is going to strengthen you in this area. You're going to become very much aware of a spirit of fear. What I mean by that is you're going to be sensitized to it. When you walk out of this door, you're going to know, oh, that's what he was talking about. That thought that I had, that's not encouraging. That's not strengthening. That's something else. And you're going to block it. And then you're going to block this. And pretty soon, you're going to realize, hey, I never realized I was entertaining this. You aren't the only one in here, by the way. Okay? There are many in this room right now that I'm talking to. You know, it's like before, when I went to Las Vegas, we were going there for a trade show, right? The business that my wife has. And prior to going, you know, you hear all this information how the economy's not going good. It's not going to be a big show. Not many people are going to come. I mean, these are the kind of things that try to come at you and as you're going in and you want to have a successful show. Well, I have a choice whether to attain that or to block it. And if I block it, you know, that's why I'm not going to take it. That's one way. I can either block it and then attack it. But yeah, well, we're going to have a good show in the name of Jesus Christ. Guess what? I'm the blessed of the Lord. His hand is on us. It's his desire of anything. I could not prosper. You know what I mean? I block it and attack it. I block it and attack it. But if I don't attack it, I'm just going to continue to be doing blocks. Holy Spirit is training you to block and attack. And it's going to help you in your ministry because I see an intercessor inside of you that hits the target every time. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal to you specifics on how to pray over an individual. I don't know if it's your family or what it is, but I see an individual that is lost. And this individual is in your target. He's in your sights. He's been marked in a good way. And the Lord's trying to tell you today that he's going to do the very thing that you asked him to do. And you're going to walk out of here with a security and understanding and knowing that God truly is going to do that. Because I don't know you guys. You know, but I just want to give you that word of encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. I hear the word of wisdom in you, brother, and it keeps coming up in my spirit. And wisdom, the word of wisdom that operates through you is practical application of the word of God. You can actually, the Lord is going to be moving, if he already hasn't, through dreams in your life. But you're going to know how to apply the information, just like Peter. Now, Peter didn't know how to apply it because it kind of happened in front of him, you know, and he's reading, well, that's what God was talking to me about. You know, it's going to be poured out. But you're going to have an application of a dream. Example like Joseph had a dream, hey, go to Egypt because, you know, Herod's after the child. Gets up and he goes and he obeys. You're going to start to have that experience. And it says old men dream dreams, young men see visions. So now you've moved from visions down to dreams. You've got a little bit older. So now you're dreaming, you know. But I just want to encourage you in that because these dreams are going to be rapid fire. You're going to feel like, yeah, I'm in a season of dreams. Like it's coming out of your spirit. I'm in a season of dreams. And every night, I'm going to have another dream, another dream. And some of these are from the Lord and some of others are from pizza. But either way, when they come to you, you've got to write them down. You've got to have some way of remembering them.
Amen.
And there's going to be application of those dreams because you are a man in transition. You're in transition. And God is opening up new doors to you, new avenues. Things, even, I don't know what you do for a living, I don't know if you're tired or whatever, but you know, even in that arena, it's like your work is even going to change to a degree. And you got expert in one area, but God is now saying, I'm going to make you an expert over here. You're going to take what you learned here, you know, apply it over here, and God's going to breathe on it. And it's just going to go. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where is it? It's going to be here somewhere. Oh, back there. Hiding back there. I see you. She gets a word every week, so I'm just going to have to hold. I'll hold it. Okay? I'll get you next week. Thanks, God. That's so good. So be encouraged, okay? I just want to give you an encouragement, okay? Just be encouraged, okay? It might seem like it's going slow, but there is progress. And God's going to accelerate, okay? Just allow him. Those are kind of like a word I gave out today. To those that wait upon the Lord, you know, shall renew their strength. And being connected to God is like being that little cord. It's like your life is intertwined with his. That's why you can say that he's your strength. He's got you to this point. It's like you're like that storybook where the engine that said it could, you know, it's I think I can, I think I can. It gets up, it's about over, he's about over the hill. And you're going to get over that hill and you're going to see the promises of God being fulfilled one after another after another. I know it's been a war. I know it's taken a lot of endurance and you're just really fatigued. But God has strengthened you tonight to go that extra mile. And that breakthrough is just on the other side. So just be encouraged. Jesus. You have a sister? You have a sister? You don't. I'm sure you do. It might be, I'm just going to say what I'm hearing. I see a sister that's close to you. This individual is, it's like a type of depression. It hits them. I mean, it actually paralyzes them. They can't really do anything. And it's not known. And you're going to minister to them. So I just want to encourage you. God's going to show you specifically who this is. You're going to know. And that word of release, that word of strength, that's really a word of knowledge from me to you to them. That word of knowledge is going to open up the door to really bring some serious ministry to this individual's life. So being very secretive. They're almost like a cat. You know, cats supposedly they don't feel good. They go off and alone and die or something like that. So I'm not, but this individual is like that. You would not know if it wasn't the Spirit of God that showed you. So just be aware of that. Praise God. That was so good. Well, Patty, got anything? Okay.
It's kind of a different world. I just felt like that there are people here that have things that you need to shake off. Literally just shake it off. You've come a distance, but it's like God's saying, shake it off. And I don't know who you are, but every one of us have something in our life that we need to let go of and get behind us and shake it off. So it's a very simple word, but if you have something you need to shake off, would you stand up and just shake your hands like this and shake it off? And there's got to be more than this, because all of us have something we need to shake off. Just shake it off. 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 God says that He orders the steps of the righteous. He's going to order our steps. And that which has been holding us back, and there are little things that hold us back. We don't think they do, but they do. It could be a thought wave. It could be something we've said. It could be the way we've walked. But you need to shake it off and keep it behind you. And Doug, I feel like you're going to be in a situation and you're going to have a word of the Lord for a person that you're going to come in contact with. And you're going to kind of sit on it and kind of feel like, hey, I'm supposed to say something to him. And I feel like that God's going to give you such a word of deliverance for him and relief for him that his whole business is going to turn around.
This is a prophecy?
Yes.
To an individual?
No. She said it was for lots of people.
Well, I'm just asking a question. So, well, it's a prophecy. Okay. No, it's a prophecy. Okay.
Only as a warning. Okay. You know how when you were a kid and there was a teeter-totter, a seesaw, and when you were a kid, you would let it go this way and you'd start on this end and then you'd kind of move to the middle and you would balance it, right? And remember how if you don't balance it just right, you're gonna go that way, or you're gonna go that way. You remember that, okay? Some people here now, and I don't know who God is, not identifying those people, but people are approaching something sinful, something wrong, something that's going around in their head that seems like it's not that bad, maybe. And so they're starting to try to balance, and they get to the middle, okay? And I just want to remind you that if you're in that middle place, this way, it's not going to be easy, okay? Much better off to be wise and say, okay, enough, enough.
I don't know if you've written a training manual for what you do, but I keep hearing that word from my spirit. You have to write a training manual. In doing that, there's going to be a parallel, you know, into the walk of Christian. You're going to see a distinct parallel because the Lord has actually taught you many times. Do what you do for a living about the things of God. In fact, even the things you do in the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit of individuals, God actually taught you to do what you do for a living. And this is going to become very, you're going to become very aware of that. Because see, it's like I became, and you probably are at this point, I became at the point where my job, where I literally listened before I spoke. In a coaching situation, because I wanted what I had to say to count. And you know, working with in the arena too, that the commands that you give, the training, it's through repetition. It's through being consistent. And these two things of repetition and consistency are something that you know about that others do not, and you've dug deeper in it than you realize. And you don't realize, and God's going to bring understanding of that, how that applies. You can actually teach other Christians about this. There's a teaching ministry that's always been in you. You've always been doing it. But now the Lord is saying, I'm establishing a platform for you to actually release it. Because I see it's like snippets here, snippets there, snippets here. But it's almost like the Lord is promoting you into a different arena. And there's, you know, that's why this transition in your heart is taking place. We actually were talking about that earlier. The transition inside of you is taking place, and it's rooted in love. And so just know that it's actually the love that's unlocked the door for this, you know, and brought you to this place. Because it, you know, sometimes, and I don't know if you ever thought this before, but a lot of times people think, man. Train has passed me by. It opened. I should have got on the train at that point. I didn't do it. Just kept going. You didn't miss the train. You didn't miss the train. It's now stopped. Okay. You're eager to get on it, and that eagerness is a prompting of the Holy Spirit, maneuvering and manipulating you by His power. Yankees were manipulating, leading you. Okay. By His power into something greater than you've ever been before. Because you desire. You see, when you have a desire like that, that's a communication to the Holy Spirit that He hears all the time. You may not articulate it, but you know what it is? It's something that actually is placed within you. It's almost like Him talking to Him. That's the only way I can explain it. But it's inside you and you know it. It's been bubbling for years. It kind of settled down, but now God says, I'm going to activate. And you're going to feel that activation. And just know this, that God's going to open. You're going to find people receptive to you that had never been receptive to you before. I like the way Nikki talks and said, Nikki said, I've got to put a blanket over somebody, you know? And when the blanket comes off, it's all like, oh, that's you. Yeah, come on. Can't wait. Where was that 3 years ago? I've been sitting on this teaching for, you know, but see, there's a percolating, there's always a refinement. With the Holy Spirit, and there's always a timing in God when the point we just don't even want it. It's like He kills something inside of us that where it could hurt us, and once that's dead, boom, He opens up the door. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But it just seems the way it's been for me. But allow that to be judged in Jesus' name. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we just thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for being here tonight, Holy Spirit. We ask You to continue to minister. Concerning this word on false knowledge or the idol of false knowledge. Father, I ask You to fill everybody up here tonight, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Bless them, Lord, and release Psalm 91 over their lives. And we thank You for this tonight and give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need ministry or healing or anything like that, we'll stay here to minister.
I was charging my phone, so I could record that. How quick did I get that?
Probably.
I was telling my mom that Sunday morning.
Paul was
92 next month. Should have been 93 next month.
Thank God you lived that long. I mean, that's incredible. You got most of your life, Lewis. You got most of your life with your mom, and that's really wonderful. That's a blessing.
Lewis?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, brother.
Well, those things, like if you know about somebody that talks, but you don't know the date, is it where you can find out or no?
On the website, it shows like Hannah have her name.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was in June. It was the last week.
He said it was around July 4th.
You're
something.
Right. It was the last Thursday. Yeah. Right. It was the first July.
Okay.
Joe, nice to meet you. But she's on there.
Well, thanks.
All right, brother. God bless you.
Good to see you.